The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. We're your hosts. I'm Duvall. That's the Dave Draper.
Yay.
We're back in with an all-new week of shows. It's been an interesting week of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, we had April Fool's, which is the one holiday I hate more than any on the internet.
Yeah, it's kind of crummy.
Because at one point, when I woke up April Fool's and checked my phone, the first story that popped up was Hasbro losing the Marvel license to Mattel. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, wait, it's April Fool's. Never mind. I was like, oh, that's going to suck. I was like, Mattel couldn't even get the damn DC figures right.
Yeah, I know. Well, I like the Mattel's DC line. I thought it was a good line.
Some of them were all right.
Yeah, okay, They fell off at the end. I'll give you that. But I mean,
boy, did they.
DC Universe Classics was a great line.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw that and was like, ugh.
Yeah, my first one was that the Pope was going to begin the canonization process for Trump.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, no.
I don't think Trump's going to be a saint anytime soon.
No. That's funny.
And then somebody posted a really obvious one. Like I don't mind when they're like really obvious. Like nobody in their right mind would buy it.
Right.
You're just being silly and having fun. It's the ones that are just close enough to the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst is, like, I saw one and the guy doubled down and said, oh, I just realized what day it is.
Yeah.
Like, no. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
That's you going, okay, well, everyone's got their radar on, so I'm going to like try to do an end run around that. That's a dick move.
Yeah.
Like you got to hope that you get them early and they're like they just woke up. You don't go, oh no, I'm being serious. That's shitty.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Curse word.
No, that's all right. Shitty's fine.
Okay.
We can throw shit out there. It's all good. So, interesting. This week, Avengers Endgame sale tickets went on sale.
Did they?
Well, they did.
For some reason, my internet was down, I lost contact with the world.
Wasn't your internet, buddy. So, Avengers Endgame tickets went on sale on Tuesday the 2nd at 10 a.m., 8 a.m. our time.
And at 10:00.
Oh, my God. Literally at 8 o'clock when I went to pull up the AMC app to order tickets, it wouldn't work. I went to go pull up the AMC site, it wouldn't work. And I'm like, what is happening? Well, it turns out, I mean, this is the most anticipated movie.
Not according to Fandango.
Yeah, well, Fandango's wrong because it literally is the most anticipated film of this year. And not even Star Wars is this anticipated.
No, because I think Star Wars took kind of a hit.
Yeah. I mean, people are super anxious to see how Marvel ends this 22-film saga.
Yeah.
This is the film I'm looking forward to the most this year. I mean, this is the one film that I cannot wait to see.
Okay, like those are two different, like, as weird as it sounds, those are two different things for me.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to see it because I do want to know how things get resolved and how it ends.
Right.
So I can't wait to see it. You know, my heart will always belong to Star Wars,
right?
So.
Now, I understand that. That's fine. With the pre-sale of the tickets, they also released a new, like, minute and 10-second trailer. Basically,
oh, so good.
It was basically an extended TV spot, but it was amazing. It was a stunning. And again, they're showing all footage from the first half of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've said everything they show is all going to be from the first half of the movie. So all we've seen is bits and pieces that lead up to the end of the first half of the movie. And we're talking about a movie that's 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was a great trailer. I mean, just the scene with Stark looking at Cap and saying, do you trust me? And him saying, I do. And
I'm so glad that I saw that in my house by myself.
Did you squee?
Oh, I didn't squee. I shouted, yes!
Yeah.
Like, because that was like the moment you were waiting for like the Avengers.
The reconciliation.
The Avengers the band gets back together.
Yeah, oh my God.
And I just, Evans is so, Robert Downey Jr. is really, really good too, but the way that Evans Cap says... That
I do.
It's like just no hesitation, no thought.
Yeah.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they showed that those the suits they wore at the end of the last trailer were in fact spacesuits because they're all on the ship and they're wearing those suits.
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not? I thought they were. No, they're not, are they?
No. I noticed that. Like, well, that was what was interesting is when they're in the ship, one of the fun things to watch is Black Widow's hair.
Oh, yeah.
Because it goes from blonde to red.
Yeah, because there's a huge time change in this film at some point.
Well, yeah. And when they're on the ship, she's still blonde.
Well,
and you can see Captain Marvel's outfit. Like, you can see Captain Marvel's
outfit.
Suit. Yeah.
What I thought was interesting is the still I'm looking at for the story is that scene of Stark and Cap talking, and there's a white strip in Cap's hair. Like, he's got this white blonde strip up the side, up the front of his hair. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know. Yeah, no, and they, like, dude, the Lego sets have pretty much flat out called those suits quantum suits.
Quantum suits, yeah. It was a great trailer, but yeah, so I tried to go online and order tickets, and I realized real quick, and I'm like, okay, so I went, there's a website you can go to that tells you websites are down or not.
Yeah, Down Detector.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, it's down for everybody. And I was like, well, I was like, the internet destroyed the presale for AMC. And it was not just AMC, it was AMC, Fandango was down because Fandango had to connect to AMC to sell AMC ticket theaters. Regal Cinemas was screwed up for a while, like several big chains, like just their servers got destroyed. And I'm sitting here thinking all day, I'm like, well, AMC is one of the biggest theater chains, if not the biggest theater chain in the world, maybe next to Regal. And I'm like, did they not anticipate, like, do you not have backup servers for your backup servers? Like,
oh, come on. This was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
And, of course, all the AMC bigwigs are in Las Vegas this week because CinemaCon's going on, which is the big gathering for all of the theater owners.
Yeah.
So they're like all, I can imagine.
Well, I mean, what, do you really think some executive is going to be like, do the code, you know, use the ones and, you know, he's not going to be telling the IT guys what to do.
No, but still, it's just like, oh my
God. This was really, I mean, this was the culmination of 21 films, 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years worth of movies. Like,
it was going to be, as I said, according to Fandango, another movie was supposed to be the most anticipated of the year, and I just thought, you're being greedy and stupid.
Yeah, no.
Like, there's zero chance that people are anticipating that more than...
Avengers Endgame. Well, we ended up getting tickets. I ended up finally...
Yes, how did we end up getting tickets?
Well, you got on the Fandango and secured tickets late in the afternoon.
With my... Oh, please.
Yeah, but no, it was late in the afternoon. It was like 3 o'clock when I texted you.
My much derided, much maligned, beat-up Galaxy 4 phone...
But we got our seats for the Friday show.
We did that. I was surprised. That was surprising. Because the theater was pretty darn full.
Yeah, it was pretty
when I saw the map, I'm like, is blue taken or is gray taken? And I was like, ooh, gray's taken.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, so we got our tickets. But So Avengers Endgame broke pre-sale ticket records as well as the websites within the first 6 hours of them going up for sale. Now, nobody has said how many tickets they actually sold. But I guarantee you it's
more than two.
It destroyed... Star Wars...
Force Awakens?
Yes, Force Awakens.
The big one.
And this just destroyed... So it's Avengers Endgame, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Infinity Wars number 5. And what's funny, all 5 of those are Disney films.
Yeah.
It was just a magnificent trailer. I look forward to the film.
Oh, I love there's one more thing I want to talk about, which is there's a shot at the end, and it was in the TV spot too, where it's just the three guys, like you see it from behind, and it's the three Avengers coming up on Thanos.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man, Cap, and Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just such a cool
shot. Oh, it's going to be amazing. What's interesting, though, is because Avengers Endgame tickets for opening nights have become so hard to get, there are literally... tickets on eBay.
I was thinking about that.
$10,000 a pop.
Yikes.
There's one right now I'm looking at that was a new listing that's $9,199. Yeah. $7,000 for tickets to Avengers Endgame opening night first showing at 6 p.m. in Rhode Island. There's a $10,000 buy it now for tickets to AMC Clifton Commons in New Jersey. I mean, good God, people, are we that?
Apparently.
I just mind boggled over that. I'm like, holy.
Well, the real question is, how badly do you want to see it Friday?
Well, what's funny is,
okay,
I think only a couple have sold, and they're $175.
That's still a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's still a pretty good deal. I mean, I think the in-game tickets for $100 was two, and then the $75 was one. Those are the only tickets that have sold. Now, again, people are listing those on eBay for ridiculous prices. They'll never sell it for ridiculous prices.
You don't know that.
Well, I don't, but then again,
never underestimate idiots with money.
A lot of these theaters would be smart enough, especially with a film like this, because I don't think anything else is opening that weekend. I think it's just Avengers Endgame and that's it.
I would hope for the sake of everyone else's movie companies, they don't.
And most theaters, even though they go into contracts saying how long they're going to play certain films in the theater for certain times, I guarantee you they do, and they just start adding showings. Because I remember going to the original Star Wars Episode 1, and they just kept adding showings as theaters sold out. So eventually, that whole theater was playing Star Wars at one point.
Well, now they do that. Now they do that in advance.
Yeah. But I thought that was pretty interesting that they were doing that. And on the back of Endgame coming out, AMC has decided in three locations, in New York and in L.A. and in Chicago, that you will be able to sit in an insane 59-hour marathon that is showing all 22 Marvel films in order. Now, to me, that's nuts.
Oh, that's mad. Like, we did the original Avengers marathon.
Yes.
And that was rough.
Yeah. That was...
Now, is this the thing, like, you go and you spend all day at the theater and you come home?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Thursday... I know. I kept telling Dave before we recorded, I'm like, I have seen a schedule that breaks down the films they show. Oh, my God.
We're back to this again. Did you find it, or are we going to spend another 10 minutes of you looking for it?
Actually, they've updated. It was three theaters. Now it's 12 North American theaters, 11 in U.S. and one in Canada that they're doing it in. Because I'm looking at the Alamo Draft House.
Alamo sounds like a place you would do that.
Yeah, they start in Brooklyn Tuesday, April 23rd. Mm-hmm. So it's Tuesday. I think it starts, of course, with Iron Man and goes to Captain America, and then Wednesday starts with Avengers and goes up to.
You said Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron, I think. I think Thursday is everything else, and then like it starts earlier on Thursday, runs everything else, and runs with
God Almighty.
Ends with Avengers Endgame at midnight. Yeah, so that's insane. Like, good luck to the people doing it. I'm pretty sure tickets are probably sold out.
I'm sure there are crazy people that'll do that.
I'm looking to see.
I need to be perfectly honest.
I know the show, the 22-hour, the New York showing is sold out. Like, it's gone.
If they were going to do that and it was going to play here, which is a big if, for Star Wars, like all nine of the Star Warses, like don't do Rogue One and Solo.
Yeah.
Like the nine main storylines. If they did that, I'd be tempted to do that.
Now, here's an interesting. Prices for this were pretty astronomical for this alone. The wheelchair seat that's available in the New York showing for Alamo Draft House is $135.
Hmm.
That's the seat. So that's...
Does it come with the wheelchair?
No, it does not. Aww. But yeah, it's a small theater they're showing that in. So, but it's pretty nuts. That's insane. Just insane.
By the way, we were wrong. Sony Pictures' The White Crow... Opens
that week. Well, Sony Pictures, I don't think you're going to make a whole lot of money that week.
This genius counter-programming.
On the backs of that, we got the first teaser trailer for Joaquin Phoenix's The Joker film, which was scored to the old Nat King Cole song Smile.
Is it Nat King Cole?
I think it was Nat King Cole. Maybe it was Nat King Cole. It was. I know it's the song Smile.
Yeah, it was Smile.
Yeah.
Who was the guy? Jimmy Durante, I thought.
Oh, man, no, well, he didn't originally sing that.
I don't mean sung it, but it sounded like him.
I was very interested in the trailer. Like, it's a very dark alternate take on the Joker, and
it's a very 70s looking film. Originally this thing was sold to me that Scorsese was going to be involved.
Yes.
Martin Scorsese. And that really got my radar up. And it looks, even though he left the project, it does kind of look like what you would picture a Joker film. From Scorsese.
Yeah, I agree.
It has a very 70s Taxi Driver, Mean Streets aesthetic.
I'm curious to see how it all pans out because it almost sounds like in one of the clips, like Batman exists in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, like because the newscaster talks are like the
most. But like there was this whole thing, like I remember there was a whole thing about Thomas Wayne being a major character.
Yeah, see, so I don't know what. I don't know what's going to happen. We just know it's an alternate universe standalone kind of film. So
which is fine.
Yeah, which is fine. And then the Black Widow film. has added a number of people alongside Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh.
Who's Florence Pugh?
I'm not sure who she's playing. I don't know.
I mean, who is she?
Well, I don't recognize the actress's name either. Okay. The latest two characters nabbed to it are Rachel Weisz, of course, from the Mummy franchise with Brandon Fraser, and Stranger Things and Hellboy actor David Harbour.
Okay.
So, eh.
They need Charlie Cox.
Yeah.
Just, well, because she always hooked up with Daredevil.
Yeah. Boy, did they. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I'm curious. I'm really curious to see what they do with the Black Widow movie.
Okay.
I mean, they've been.
I assume it'll be a cool spy thriller.
Yeah, I would assume so too. That's the best.
I mean, you know, like if I were doing it, it would hardly be a superhero movie at all.
Mm.
It would be a spy thriller, and she'd be like, you know, like a James Bond, like a girl James Bond.
Yep. With WonderCon this last weekend, we got our first look at Stargirl for Titans.
Okay.
Actress name is Breck Bassinger. It's a standalone show. I'm sorry. I thought she was part of Titans. Hell.
Spreading lies.
Oh my God. I thought it was part of Titans.
Loyal listeners.
I didn't realize it was its own show. Well, see, I don't watch anything from the DC Universe stuff, so I don't know. But apparently, Stargirl follows high school sophomore Courtney Whitmore as she inspires an unlikely group of young heroes to stop the villains of the past. The new drama will reimagine Stargirl and the very first superhero team, the Justice Society of America, in an unpredictable series. And what I understand, Doom Patrol is really good.
Okay.
Everything I've heard is Doom Patrol is amazing.
Okay.
It's
weird that they have Cyborg on the team, but other than that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess he's not actually, wasn't actually supposed to be there. Like in the story, he's not actually supposed to be a part of all that, and he ended up there.
Although it's kind of cool that they're doing the Mr. Nobody storyline.
Yeah.
Like the deep Grant Morrison.
And
nonsense.
You know who's playing Mr. Nobody?
I do not know.
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, well, there you go. That's perfect casting.
Yes. And I also saw a trailer for Krypton Season 2, which I didn't watch Season 1. But Season 2 seems like it's just going to be batshit crazy.
I know,
like,
they're doing Doomsday.
They're doing Doomsday. Of course, Brainiac's back. Of course, he's the big villain.
Right.
And then I saw the trailer for the last two episodes of Gotham, which I'll actually probably watch because I'm curious. Because the last two episodes, the first part is pretty much wrapping up Gotham. And the second part jumps... what'd they say?
Like based on the look of the Joker, 50 years.
Yeah, well, I think they said 15 years in the future. Well, so Batman's already established. Joker, you know, is Joker.
Old.
Yeah. And then of course, Young Justice is coming back July 2nd for its long, long, long awaited third season.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. All that'll be on DC Universe. This has had a lot of people pissed off for some reason or another, but that Mark Hamill announced on Twitter that he's going to be doing the voice.
Actually, he had a video for. Yeah. There's the little button right there.
Yeah.
He sounds a little bored when he does a video, but.
Well, it's Mark Hamill. He's probably tired.
Yeah.
He's
been the voice of Chucky in the Child's Play reboot.
Yeah, in the Child's Play reboot.
Apparently, some people have their nose out of joint that it's not Brad Dourif.
Well, and again, people don't understand is that this reboot.
It's a reboot.
Yeah. Literally has nothing to do, of course, with the original series. The original series is continuing on as a TV series done with Brad Dourif. As well as the original creative team of the Chucky series, of the Child's Play series.
You know.
And it will pick up where Cult of Chucky left off. So it continues that storyline. And this film is its own thing. So, yeah, people get all antsy. Emily Bette Rickards, who plays Felicity on Arrow, is leaving before the final season of Season 8. She's leaving at the end of this season, so she will not even be featured in Season 8 at all.
Okay.
Which is weird that she wouldn't stick it out for one more season for the final season.
She didn't want to do it anymore.
No, apparently not.
You know, they usually sign 7-year contracts. And,
yep.
You know, I like the character. I never liked that they made her Oliver's love interest.
Yeah. So, yep, she is. She's leaving the show, and Felicity will be no more. Sadly.
Yeah, we only got 1 year left anyway.
Yeah. Again, it's weird. Like, Arrow was the first to come on and is the first to go.
Yes, by their own. That's so weird.
Well, by their own admission, though. They decided to end it. Like, not CW, because it's still one of the highest rated shows on CW.
Okay. So,
after 7 years, I mean, what, you know.
I mean, we were joking when season 5 rolled around. Like, what was he going to do? Have flashbacks to the. Because he always had flashbacks, like,
right.
5 years earlier, 4 years earlier. Yeah, and, like, it was like, is he going to have flashbacks to season 1?
Yeah, no, shoot.
I mean, they've kind of done the dirty secret about Green Arrow is there's not really a lot to do with him.
No.
Like, he doesn't really have many classic stories, and most of them involve somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like they kind of ran that as long as I think they really could.
Yeah,
without being allowed to, like, you know, like, dip into, like, the Batman stuff.
Yeah.
Which they weren't allowed to.
No.
Early on they couldn't get, like, the C-list Batman guys enough, but I guess the valve got stopped off on that.
Yeah. Boy, did it quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess Oliver, it won't be the last we see of Oliver Queen at the end of that.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, he'll probably be back for crossovers and stuff.
You said probably. Yeah. Like, when you were talking to me earlier, it was like he had a contract or something. He was going to still hang around.
Yeah, he was still going to poke around from different episodes of series.
Well, he seems to love doing that role. So.
Oh, yeah. On the toy side of things, Hot Toys has teased the 1/6 scale Shazam film figure.
All right.
So we don't get a look at the...
oh, no.
We don't get a look at the head sculpt or anything, but we get a look at the costume. It looks like it's going to have a light-up LED lightning bolt, which is kind of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I wonder what he'll look like.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, perhaps like that.
Yes,
I'm pointing
like
to an
Zachary
ad for
Levy.
Shazam.
Yeah. So... I'll be curious to see the rest of the figure because they always do a great job, and they're always
nice
to look
at. They're brilliant sculptors.
Yeah, they're brilliant sculptors.
And they're just also super expensive.
Yeah. Well, I guess on the TV side of things, we had a new trailer for the season 2 of She-Ra and the Princesses of the Power.
Yeah, they had a big WonderCon panel.
Yeah. Bleh. I don't know. I mean, I liked the first season. It was all right.
Okay. Wow, you sound like me talking about Captain Marvel. I liked it. It was fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Again, I'm not the entire... hate this phrase. I'm not the target audience, but I liked it just fine. It was all right. It was fun.
You know,
I enjoyed certain parts of it. Other parts, I'm like, eh. Like, I hate Bo's voice, but I also don't like the actor that plays him because I don't like him on Blackish either because he's so whiny.
Hmm.
And I'm just like, ugh.
Okay.
But...
Sounds like you're bringing your biases to the
yes,
to
I
the
am.
Show.
Fuck that shit.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I went hard R. Super 7 showed off the new 3.75 reaction figures, including She-Ra, Shadow Weaver, Modulok, two different Modulocks, Mantina, Grizzlor, and Hordak.
I know we've seen Modulok before.
Yeah, She-Ra, I mean, it's
a reaction figure.
Yeah, it's a reaction figure. Shadow Weaver looks fun.
Yeah, she looks okay.
Yeah, she looks fine. She looks all right. Yeah, there's one Modulok, so just the basic Modulok, and then there's the other one. So they basically the same figure, two different heads.
Hmm.
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the hands are the same. Yep. And then Mantina, which looks amazing. It looks like his eyes bug out too. It looks like he's got a lever and his eyes poke out, which is fun. I look forward to that. That's cute. And then Grizzlor.
Rrr, grr, arg.
And then Hordak.
Jeez, he practically looks like a pop.
I know.
He's all cute.
He's all cutesy. Look at him. He's adorable. Oh. And then Super 7 also revealed the Masters Universe Vintage Wave 4 figures, which include the 9 characters are Buzz Off, Evil Seed, Evil Lyn, Glow in the Dark He-Man, basically from every MOTU episode's transformation sequence, Shadow Orko from the She-Ra episode Shadows of Orko, Shadow Weaver, and Stratos. In addition, there's also 2 special Japanese box versions of He-Man and Skeletor based on the original packaging prototype from back in the day. So these are all Filmation design. So we get Buzz Off and Evil Seed, who again it's Evil Seed, Filmation Evil Lyn with the big headdress and fun. There's the Transformer He-Man, he's all glow in the dark and yeah, that's kind of neat. The Shadow Orko, who's kind of neat looking.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Shadow Weaver, Stratos. I love the Stratos. I hear the Sean Connery voice. And then the cool Japanese boxes.
Oh, yeah. The Japanese boxes are cool.
Yeah, they are pretty neat. Real cool artwork and stuff on the front.
Yeah.
So those are cool. Those should be out later this year.
Still waiting for
the pre-sales opens on April 30th. So I will be open until April 30th. And they're expected to ship summer of this year. So. And then on the Hot Toys trail, they announced in-game figures for both Thanos in his new armor. Which everybody's kind of crap in the bread. Why does he need new armor? He had armor in the first one. Why does he get a new weapon? Why? Well, let's just wait until the film comes out and we'll find out. I do like that this Thanos has the gauntlet has LEDs in it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's
that
cool.
Lights up all the Infinity Gems, which is cool. The new armor looks cool, though. Curious to see how that comes about, but you know.
Are we sure that's because Hot Toys tends to run behind? Are we sure that's not from Infinity War?
No, it's from Endgame. Mm. And then they showed the new Iron Man, which this Iron Man actually does look like he... This is the Endgame Iron Man because it's got the new armor, the new arc reactor and stuff.
He had that in Infinity War.
Did he have that design arc reactor,
yes,
though?
Yes. Yeah. I would imagine weird things coming out of his back.
I would imagine it's the same armor in this film.
Maybe. I mean, technically, they were nanites.
Because he didn't have really any time to like design a new one because, you know, he'd been trapped in space.
Oh, he doesn't have armor. He has nanites that make an armor. That's so they can make... Eh, I don't like nanites.
Yeah. But both of those figures will be out probably next year. But I guess there's some mystery accessories that are yet to be revealed that probably won't show up until after the film's opened.
Hmm.
And apparently that Iron Man's got die-cast parts, which will be fun.
So. Neat.
And then Hasbro's Marvel Endgame toys have been revealed.
Well, they're on the shelves.
Some of them, yeah, some of them are hitting shelves now, including a new Ant-Man electronic helmet, an in-game Nerf assembler gear, okay, an Iron Man blast repulsor gauntlet, which is still Nerf stuff, I think, a mask and glove for Iron Man, Captain America scope vision helmet, and then we get the 6-inch figures, which are the little...
They're 6 inches.
Yeah. So we get a bunch of characters in there. Infinity War, the suits, including a Cap in this really weird...
Ooh, shiny.
Yeah. Which looks like a Quantum Realm suit, but over Cap's original... Like, it's really weird looking. So the Captain Marvel Cap 2-pack, in-game Thor and Rocket Raccoon 2-pack, Hulk
Professor suit, Hulk.
Yeah, Hulk team suit deluxe. And then a deluxe Thanos warrior in his new armor with his new weapon. Then we get the Titans sphere figures. So,
those are giant.
Yeah. Yeah. 12 Thor inch. And
War Machine.
War Machine and Captain Marvel, a Titan Hero Power FX figure. And then a Repulsor in-game blast Iron Man 14-inch with the sounds. Captain America 14-inch with sounds.
Run in.
And then the Legends figures, which we've all seen. So a lot of stuff that has already hit shelves. And most Walmarts that I've seen
have been cleared. I hope so. The movie comes out like in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And the shelves already been cleaned out. Like the stuff's already gone. It's been out. It's been gone already. Mm. I did notice there's a new set of Hot Wheel cars out for Marvel.
You and your Hot Wheels.
That is like one is Iron Man, Ultron. Like there's an Iron Man, there's an Ultron, there's a Cap, there's a Red Skull, there's a Thor, and then there's a Loki. So it's like the three original Avengers and their villains. So, yeah. Which is kind of cool. So the only one I couldn't find was Iron Man. I found everybody else, but I couldn't find Iron Man.
Are these the ones that are like cars with stuff painted on the side, or are these the ones that are character cars?
No, they're not character cars. They're ones that stuff's painted on the side. Okay. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like yeah, I was trying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, wait, what does he mean by character cars?
They're kind of sculpted to look like not the character. Yeah,
they're just like the $1.29.
Yeah, yeah.
Cars, yeah, which are specialty. So, yeah, and I thought this was interesting. Japan apparently is being hit hard by scalpers. Welcome to the club. Because in Japan, of course, toy collecting and the collecting market is a huge, thriving industry.
Yeah.
And just recently, in the last couple of years, especially in Japan, where a lot of the stuff is limited quantities, stuff costs hundreds of dollars. I mean, Hot Toys doesn't come from Japan. It comes from Hong Kong. But technically, it's kind of a Japanese product.
Sure.
So because the international market has expanded so much for toys... the markets had to kind of evolve, and this is because recently there's a Neo Genesis Evangelion EVA 01 figure that's called a Test Type Metal Build action figure.
Sure.
Which is kind of like their SH Figure Arts kind of thing.
Okay.
And it was...
I thought SH Figure Arts was from Japan.
Yeah, it is. But they were released in February of this year. They retail for about $250. And it's been promoted for over a year. People got really crazy. Demand was high. And when it hit, Japanese fans arrived to find huge lines at every store in the famous Akihabara. Akihabara. There we go. Akihabara Toy District. But alongside all the everyday fans and toy collectors, all of these overseas buyers from China had come over and were basically buying up up to 20 people buying up the Evangelion figures at whatever the unit limits were and taking the stuff back to China, because China apparently has, not only did they get a discount in Japan, like they were tax-free because they were Chinese residents. Okay. Like for some reason they don't have to pay any tax in Japan.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know either. It's something to do with there's a deal between Japan and China, and China people don't have to pay, I don't know. But not only that, but also because it's so cheap to send stuff from China to the United States.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty much cost free.
Yeah, I mean like all that stuff is free shipping on eBay.
Yeah. So all of these Chinese dealers are going over, buying up all this stuff, taking it back and immediately listing it and selling it for 2-3 times the money. And Japanese toy collectors are so infuriated, as well are dealers, because dealers are like, even knocking the limits down to one per customer isn't helping, because these guys are still coming in. And it's, I saw this and I was like, oh, welcome to our world, Japan. Mm. We've been living with this for years. Like, that's just the kind of, well, not Chinese residents coming over and buying stuff, but the scalpers, where stuff come out and, you know, but I guess it's really bad in Japan because they've got almost these gang style buyers. Oh, Dave's bleeding from the arm.
I was picking at
something. Oh, David. You know, all these gang style buyers who would just, you know, come in hordes, get in line first and just buy it all up. And then people who are behind them are left, you know, left in the dust. It's like, But here's, So China has a trade deal with the U.S. that lets them have non-competitive shipping rates via e-packets, which means buyers from China can come over, buy the items, and then sell them in their home country to the U.S. at a considerable advantage, such as free shipping, which Dave said. Whereas a local Japanese business would have to pay 5-10 times as much for the same item to be shipped. Additionally, the sale tax there is scheduled in Japan to jump from 8-10% this October. But because of the way the law works in Japan, Chinese buyers can use their passports for tax-free shopping, saving another 10% on top of their fee. And that creates this huge discount on top of the nearly non-existent shipping costs to us here in the States, thus beating every Japanese seller out of the game.
Well, okay, like, I have to say, I was more sympathetic when we were talking about collectors getting screwed out of getting these things.
Now we're talking about dealers.
Now we're talking about dealers, and it's like, eh, you know, welcome to business.
Yeah.
Get different people in charge of your country there, Spunky.
Yeah. And, of course, there's no legal or fair way in Japan to counter all of this, so their only recourse is they raise prices to try to dissuade the overseas buyers, but it has no effect because then the buyers just come out and clear out any affordable stock. So it's just apparently it's an insane thing, and here's the thing: shopping experience in Japan is also very different from us. For example, in some stores, if you want an item, you have to write down where in the store the item is located, then go to a waiting line to get an employee, and the said employee will then procure the item. Then you have to go to a different line in order to pay. Sometimes that's where culture clashes occur. As often, the overseas buyers don't want to wait in the two-line system; they demand to get it now which causes racial tensions, which only hurt the reputation of Chinese toy buyers in the eyes of all these Japanese sellers and conflict in the industry. But it's like, hello. Welcome to the United States problems. We've been dealing with this for a while.
What, two lines? Only at Comic-Con.
Not two lines, yeah. In Comic-Con, it's like four.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, come over, do all this. I don't know why there's an ad for...
Yeah, I don't know, buddy.
I don't know, man. Weird things. Weird things.
Sure.
Weird things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting little story. I was like, oh, that's I'm familiar with that type of scalping. Very familiar with it. I've seen the dealers at Comic-Con scoop everything up as quick as they can, take it back to their booths, and mark it up 50-70% higher than what it cost.
Dude, at this, like, if there were any Comic-Con exclusives that I wanted and I was ever going back to Comic-Con, honestly, I'd bring enough money to just buy it from a dealer.
True.
Because at some point, there is an actual value to not spending your entire day
in a line
to get kicked out of the line because the line's too long.
Uh-huh.
So.
And they're like, but I've got this pass for this line that said to come back at this time. And they're like, well, we
can't. Too bad.
Yeah.
300 million other people have that same pass.
Yeah.
Because they don't think these things through.
Nope.
They do. Now they're going back to lottery systems. It's like,
yeah, the lottery system blows. Ugh. Yeah, screw that noise.
Screw that noise.
I hate that so much. Awful.
Just for toys.
I know.
It's madness.
You had a very interesting journey this weekend. Whereas I had the used game sale on Saturday at our local, friendly local
game store. I think that's probably a more interesting story. But yeah, like.
You tell yours.
Okay, well.
Because yours, I think, is much more cool.
Okay.
Let me set this up.
Okay. Well, I mean, it goes back to the Star Wars auction.
Goes back to the Star Wars auction that I attended. And there was an item in there that Dave and I had seen at the last Kane County Toy Show that we'd gone to.
Yeah.
And they had it listed at $1,800, although everyone else swears up and down they sold it for way more than $1,800.
Yeah, all these people are swearing it sold for $3,000.
And I remember, I remember seeing the price tag on it for...
It was not $1,800, it was
$1,200. Yeah, it was $1,200.
Like, I know this because I talked to the guy, I bought other things from the guy, I nearly bought it, and it was... It turns out it's a display for mugs, a store display for mugs. I thought it was for figures.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it's got the Vader carrying case.
Like, yeah, it does.
Built into it, but apparently it's just a...
So at this...
Darth Vader looks like Darth Vader. Anyway... It was an item that I almost got. I really wanted. Yeah. But it would have like been end of day. It would have been the only thing I bought.
Exactly. Good. Yeah.
But I that's why I know it's $1,200 because I know how much money I had.
Yeah.
I know I almost got it, and I know that the other thing, the vinyl cape Jawa, was $18.
$18. Yeah. That's so, where I'm getting the $18 from because we talked about
our $12 or $15. $15. It was $15.
That's where I was getting the higher 15, price from.
$15. Yeah. Anyway, point being, so this display showed up at that auction in St. Louis.
Yes, in the box.
And never been... you actually filmed it. Well,
yeah. I did.
Never been opened, never been put together. Although the box and the plastic wrapping, slight spoiler alert, did not hold up very well.
No.
But you filmed the actual auction of it, and it turned out that we knew who had gotten it.
Yes.
And that was our old friend Dealer Dan.
Dealer Dan had won that.
And Dealer Dan was kind of intent on taking it up to... King County. It's his first King County.
He was, but he was also intent on selling it to you. He wanted you to have it.
He liked the idea of me having it, but he was also pretty locked on a high price.
He was pretty
locked
on a hot price.
Like I said, everyone had told him it went for $3,000.
Right.
And again, maybe the guy jacked up the price after we left.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if I had brought $3,000 to that King County, because I needed that extra money. You know, point being, if I brought enough money to King County, I would already have had it, and I would have had it for $1,200.
Right.
So he and I couldn't, and part of it also was I wasn't sure what my finances were going to be, like my, because I had my taxes coming up.
Yeah.
And I was going to have a tax bill, and you know, and I needed to know how much before I spent money on anything.
Right.
Really. So I finally got my taxes done. We just couldn't agree on a price.
Yeah, that was the problem, is like Dan couldn't come off the price he wanted, and you were like, that's way too much for even me to spend.
It was like even what I was offering was more than I was comfortable spending at the time. And I got my taxes done, and it turned out that it was better than I thought, and I had some money. So I thought, I'm going to give it one more shot.
Right.
You know, kind of meet in the middle of where...
Because I had been playing middleman, and I finally had told...
Yeah, you bowed out, yeah.
I finally had told both you and Dan, I was like, you guys just need to talk to each other. I'm like, you guys have each other's phone number, just talk.
It was just one of those weird things.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things, but I was like, why don't you
Although,
guys talk?
Although, to be fair, like, there was also a situation where I had tried to work out with some other guy, and he just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Exactly.
So part of me was like, I just let someone who could actually apparently get people to talk back to them respond to their texts. Yes. You know, it's like, people like you. Like, please help me.
Which is weird, because should they really like me?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
But they do.
I know.
And they never answer my text. I can't even get my dryer vents clean. The guy won't get back to me.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
So it's just like, I just, please help me.
Help me, help you.
Anyway. So I gave him a counteroffer, and he had a few financial setbacks of his own, so he decided to accept it.
That the money was, he's like, well, I can't pass the money up, it's too good.
Yeah, he it was not that great, but he needed it.
Right.
And it was a fair, you know, it was about between where I was asking and he was asking.
Right, so it was fair.
So it was yeah, and so he wanted to come up to Decatur yeah. at the Wabash Depot Antique Mall.
Yeah.
Which
is literally the old Decatur train station.
Yes. And I was like, hey, you know, well... You
it's
know,
a beautiful building. It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, we were trying to work out when I was going to get it and how I was going to pick it up. Because it's a very old, very delicate item.
Yes.
And he was, like, going up to that train station anyway, which was convenient because the next Toy Man isn't until May.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'll drive up there and... You know, it's like a 45-minute drive for me. And I remember you freaking out, like, what's he doing in Decatur?
Yeah, I was like, what's he doing in Decatur? I'm like,
he's going
dear Lord.
Antique shopping with his wife.
Which makes sense. That's fine.
And I actually got to meet his wife.
Oh, yeah.
I've never met her before.
I have met her. She's sweet.
She's nice, yeah.
Yeah, she's really nice.
Yeah. So anyway, rainy, crappy, windy day, drove up to Decatur, got there. I met Dan, and we kind of did a circuit through the mall. you know, looking for stuff. And it was funny because his whole thing was, yeah, they don't really have a lot of older, you know, like Star Wars type stuff from the 70s. And the first thing is a Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica on the card.
Yeah.
It's like, that's actually came out later than Star Wars, Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, we hung out and talked and, you know. And then at the very, very, very end, I did find one gem that made me so happy. Because he was talking about one of the things that he likes to collect are, like, these mail-in premium items. You know?
Yes.
And he looks, he's like that. And I'm like, oh. I look over, and it's, I guess when Star Trek V came out, Kraft Foods had a mail-away thing for a little marshmallow dispenser. A little plastic thing you put a marshmallow in. Because in the movie, they go camping, and the joke is that Spock brings all his techno gear camping. And he's got a little electronic gizmo for, like, dispensing marshmallows.
Yeah.
That they then toast over a fire. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing! And it had the, I guess it came with like a little fork and spoon, which is non-canonical, but yes, you know. But he was real impressed that it had the fork and spoon. Sticker's a little rough, but I was just like, I must have it!
Yes,
I like, must like buy Star it. Trek V paraphernalia! And it's the marshmallow dispenser! I love it! It's so dumb!
That's awesome.
So I got a little gem, and I was like, you said that mall wasn't any good.
You know, I never find anything real good there.
There wasn't much.
There wasn't much. I think last time we went, we found like a bunch of kids' books, and I almost bought a bunch of sealed Knight Rider book and record sets.
Oh,
but they wanted like $20 a pop for them.
I was like, you could.
And Carrie was like, you can get them. And I was like, ah, that's a lot of money for.
Yeah, you should have sold one back to Flood for $20.
See? I thought,
for $40.
I thought Soak about him. It. I thought that's what I was going to do.
Take advantage of his addiction.
Nah. I was like, dang it. I can't, but, like.
You know.
And when I told Kara, I was like, oh, we can't spend that kind of money. That's a lot. And she's like, who are you? Are you my husband anymore? What have you done with him? And I was like, ah, sorry.
So anyway, I drove home in the wind and the rain. I got the thing. The box was rotten. The box was gross. I opened it up. The plastic that wrapped the display was like rotted away.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you'd reach in, your hand would be covered with little shreds of plastic.
Oh, yeah.
I finally got, apparently, like, getting it in the house, one of the screws fell out.
Oh.
I know this because later I was in the front room and the dog was chewing on something.
You're like, what is that?
I'm like,
it's a screw!
It's a screw, because I was missing one screw.
Yeah.
I'm still so missing a washer.
Screw so. Was found.
Yeah, it was found. Hopefully she didn't break any teeth. I'm still a little worried about the little monster.
Yeah, I know.
But the actual display itself was fine. It was in great shape. There's one crack, like, right where these two edges meet.
Which they hide, don't they?
They almost hide, almost hide. It almost looks like it's just the way it's designed, because it's a perfect split.
Right, but again, this is like 40 years old, kind of thickish, thin.
It's
mask
definitely
plastic,
it's definitely a grade above Halloween mask.
Yes, yeah.
And it was designed to hold mugs.
Yeah, it was designed to hold. So they what's the company name? Ross?
I don't know.
Anyway, this company made all of these ceramic items for Star Wars. These. Like Chewbacca mugs, and they made like a ceramic C-3PO tape dispenser.
Oh, they guys made the tape dispenser?
Yeah, they made the tapes dispenser. That soap dishes.
Well, you can't just bring up the tape dispenser and not tell people who don't know what that's about.
The C-3PO tape dispenser.
He's lying on his back, and the tape literally comes out between his legs.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like how that passed any kind of review is beyond me.
I don't know.
That's definitely one of my few non-toy items that I would kill to have.
Was that, yeah.
That and the Gamorrean Guard piggy bank.
Oh yeah, the Gamorrean Guard piggy bank is ridiculous. I think they did that too. Actually,
they probably did. So you know, I got it. It was difficult to put together because you got to like put the screws in and then get the two pieces. And of course, I'm trying not to break anything or bend anything.
Right.
And you know, and it was just so. I don't know. I got it put together. I got it downstairs. I got my micro collection.
Sigma is the name of the company.
Toys on it. I'm sure this has been a like scintillating epic story of me driving a place, picking a thing up, and
trying to think what else they made. They made a Luke on a Tauntaun.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
teapot.
They made a whole bunch. Yeah, they made a teapot. They made a Jabba. They made characters for Return. They did a bunch of Empire. Yeah, they did a bunch of mugs. Vader, Luke and X-wing gear. Leia. They did a Klaatu. Ceramic, like they did all kinds of crazy weird, and I remember that auction, they had all the Sigma stuff, like she had bought all of it. It was still like, there's a Landspeeder soap dish, they just made so much of it.
I'm not even
cookie jars,
but...
and
see, there you go, there's your 3PO
with the tape dispenser between his legs. R2D2 cookie jars, they made so much banks. Yeah, they made ceramic banks, which in hindsight probably isn't great to drop metal coins into a ceramic bank. I'm just saying. But yeah, they did a little kind of stuff. But yeah, the display Dave got was from Sigma, was the Sigma display for all those, and it was the store display. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a great piece.
It's a very cool piece.
Oh, it's a very, very beautiful, cool piece. It came with this extra like chunk that's supposed to go on the side.
It's a little side thing, yeah.
Yeah, but
well, you know, the fact that I got it fit into my collection at all is a miracle.
It's a miracle in and of itself. While Dave was doing that, we had the local gaming store here, Titan Games, had their annual
used
game sale.
And unfortunately, just to, like, the plan originally was we'd go do that we'd both go to Dan. Yeah. But unfortunately, the store opened right at the time that I needed to be
there. Yeah, Dave needed to get going, so it wasn't going to work. So Dave went to Decatur, I went to the game show. I had taken a bunch of stuff in earlier that week to sell. I think I'd taken like 9 or 10 games, like a bunch of stuff that I had bought. Literally, I'd bought at Salvation Army, like for super cheap, all the, you know, that I'd just been building up over the last year for the strict purpose of knowing I was going to go into this sale with pretty, you know, very, very hardcore about the pricing for it to move, knowing I was going to, it was all going to go store credit. So yeah. I wouldn't make any money off it, but I was going to get store credit, and I paid literally nothing for it anyway. So I had a stack of games. I had planned on leaving at like 10 o'clock on Saturday morning so I could get there first, because they had posted a little video going through it, and I had seen that there were deluxe editions of Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 in there, which Dave owns all the Kickstarter ones.
Yeah.
And Dave actually gave me the retail version of Ghostbusters that came with Ghostbusters 2. So I had a copy of it, but I was like, oh, I'd really like those deluxe editions because I kind of want all of the extra stuff too, which is pretty cool.
Well, okay.
So I was like, well, I'm going to get there at like 10. That way I can be like kind of first in line again, because I was last year, I was first in line.
Yeah, I remember.
And that didn't happen because I got up to take the dog, and then Carrie woke up. Carrie wanted me to go get a breakfast. So I went and got a breakfast and came home. And then I left a lot later than I wanted to. Like, I didn't get there till like 11, like 10 after 11. And by the time I got there, man, there was like 40 people in line. I was like, ah, son of a... Ugh. And of course, I'm not that close friends with the guy that runs the place. His name's Nick. Like, I'm not that...
Yeah, he's one of the few people that seems immune to your smarmy charm.
Yes. Although we get along well, but I'm not like real tight with him. Like, I've talked to him a few times. But so I wasn't close enough to him to be like, hey, will you snag those and put those aside and I'll buy them as soon as I walk in the door? Which, again, I don't care about fair. They're all going to get sold anyway.
Wow.
I know I'm evil. I wanted those bad. I was willing to do just about anything. But didn't happen. I got in the door. That was the second thing that I saw grabbed as I was walking in the door. I saw one guy walk over, grab both of them, didn't even look at the prices, walked right up to the thing to pay. And I was like, oh, son of a... I was like, that really was the only reason I was coming, was for those two games.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, they were, and I asked the guy, was it with prices? And he's like, Ghostbusters was 30 and Ghostbusters 2 was 35. And I was like, that's a hell of a deal for those games, man. Apparently everybody's pricing was really like hardcore, like they wanted to move stuff. There was a copy of Hero Quest.
Okay.
Which there were two last year. There was one this year. This year it was like $70. And that sold pretty quick. There was a few other games I didn't recognize, but I ended up walking out with pretty much the entire run of a game called Zombies, which I have the first like two, which is like a little miniature game with tiles and the you set.
We
the
did this once.
Yeah, we
yeah,
played
this
it once.
Is one of those I didn't like.
Yeah, Dave didn't enjoy it, but basically that guy had brought the whole collection in. It was like $15 for all of them, and I was like, all right, I'm like, why not? I kind of like that game, so I'll get the rest of them.
All right, well, good.
Fury of Dracula, which is a classic. Which they just brought back out through Hasbro's. Do they own Games Workshop?
No. They own WotC.
They own WotC.
And TSR.
Yeah, TSR. So they brought that out this time. But the original one I bought was like the second edition from Fantasy Flight Games, which I like all their games. I like the versions they do. So I bought that for $15. And then I found a Kickstarter copy of Boss Monster 2, which I didn't have. Because I had Boss Monster, and then I have the third one that came out. The mid-boss or whatever. So I bought this Kickstarter one that's got a slipcover on it that looks like the old Super Mario Brothers 2 game cover. So I bought that for $10. So I ended up spending $40 and walking out of there with some games that I was like, that's not bad. But they had a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff there that looked cool. No, there was a Talisman. There was a copy of Talisman, but they wanted way too much for it. Mm. And it was fourth edition, which you have everything and I have a chunk of to play, so I really didn't see anything like that was really astronomical, except for those copies of Ghostbusters, which even then I was like, I kind of want them. It was interesting though. When I walked back in the next day, I walked in on Monday because they did Saturday. Sunday, everything was half off that was left for anyone who wanted to do it. So of course I had marked all my stuff, you know, regular prices on Saturday and then what I wanted on Sunday. And I walked in on Monday night to check because I had to pick the game up. So I walked in to check to see, you know, well, what sold? He goes, you sold everything but one game. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And I think it was like $68 and a little chunk of change in store credit. So I ended up going back yesterday and using that store credit and bought all kinds of these game color paint bottles.
Yeah.
So I ended up spending like $80 worth of.
Wow.
Yeah. So I ended up spending like an extra
20.
Well, it wasn't 20 because he gave me a discount on some of them. So it was like an extra 12. But retail was like $80-some of paints and stuff. So,
yeah, it sounds like your smarmy charms actually worked a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I got in trouble on Monday when I walked in because there was no one in there. And, you know, we try to watch our language on the show. But Dave will tell you, and anyone who's told
Heck
you,
yeah.
hang out will tell you, that I have the mouth of a sailor. Like, I cuss all the time. And sometimes I don't think about it because that's how Carrie and I talk at home. You know, that's how I talk with Dave sometimes. Like, I'm just, my brain is hardwired that way. I literally sound like I've been in the Army and I've never served a day in my life. And I'm in there and I'm talking and I'm telling him a story and just these cuss words are just flying out of my mouth. And he's like, all right. He's like, you need to control the cussing. He's like, I know there's no one in here. He's like, but you got to throw a little respect my way. And I was like, oh, dude. He's like, I am so sorry. I'm like, literally, I am embarrassed. Like, I'm very, very sorry. I'm like, I didn't realize I'm doing it. I just do it. And he just starts laughing. He goes, you're not the worst offender. He's like, you know, the worst offender are. And I'm like, huh? And he goes, Marines. He goes, we had Marines that come in to play Magic. And those guys.
Yeah.
He goes, and then I kind of get on them and they're like, oh my God, they're just as embarrassed as you were. And I was like, Nick, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm like, I don't want you mad at me. I don't want to make anyone angry. I'm like, he's like, it's fine. He's like, just keep it under wraps. I'm like, yep. So. Yeah, your purchase was way more interesting than mine because mine's just paint.
Well, yeah, ultimately, sure.
Yeah. Plus, I ended up fixing Dave's turtle today when I came over.
Yes, you did.
I brought my my little magnifier with the LED lights and my tiniest brush and some white paint and fixed his eyes up, and they look
pretty good.
They look phenomenally
they look better. Yeah.
There's still a little pink around the eyes because you can't really get rid of all of it, but it stands out a little better now. He doesn't look like he's stoned, so that's
yeah,
a plus. Yeah, that's a plus. So now I'm a little more happier with him now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think he looks better now. Well, there you go, guys. That's that'll wrap up the show. Dave and I'll be back next week for Shazam.
Hopefully we'll have Shazam to talk about.
Well, we will see.
And another game night.
Yes, and another game night's coming up.
We can talk smack about Brad.
Yeah, we can talk smack about Brad. God bless him. Love him to death. Poor Brad.
I know.
He and I aren't friends on Facebook, and I keep wanting to send him a friend request, and then I don't because I'm like,
he doesn't do much on Facebook.
No, he doesn't. I'm like, oh, Brad and I aren't friends on Facebook. This game night should be interesting. John won't be here, but looks like everybody else will probably be here.
Maybe.
Well,
everybody else is you, me, Brad, and Amy.
Yeah, and maybe Bill.
Maybe Bill.
Not sure what we're going to play yet. I think we'll figure that out.
Shadows of Brimstone?
Huh?
Shadows of Brimstone?
No. As bad as I wanted to play that game, I regret it now. If John listens to this, it's nothing against John, but that game was the most fiddliest, ridiculous.
It's a day game.
Oh,
God. Like it's a day game. It's not a game night game. It's a day long thing.
Yeah.
It's like Talisman. I mean, we've done it before. It's like Talisman. It's
Gloomhaven.
Like Axis and Allies. Like Gloom.
Yeah.
Well, Gloomhaven, you can get like two or three scenarios in.
Yeah,
quick.
You can get a couple scenarios, but any like Axis and Allies, Shogun.
Yeah,
those are Conquest the Empire.
Those are all day if you're lucky.
Yeah. Those are the ones that like take 17 hours to play.
Yeah, yeah. It would definitely it required more time than we had available.
Yes. So that's all right. We'll Saturday's busy for me because I start helping out at the APL because they're setting up their yearly sale.
You're the one that picked the date.
Oh, I know. That's fine. So I'll be there and then I'll leave from there to come directly here, probably eating supper along the way. Mm. So I'm excited. I always like game nights. So game nights are fun. But yeah, we'll be back next week with our talk about Shazam, which is looking to be one of the
good reviews,
one of the most fun movies this year. So I'm excited to see that.
And I am too.
Tickets are bought, so we'll see it and we'll
Yay.
Talk about it next week. And until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you cannot stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.